This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, greetings.
Ah, yes. You and I are going to be at GABF here pretty soon.
Yes, yes, we are. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
At least I think I am. I got the exciting prospect of judging for the first time there ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it'd be more work than I'm expecting.
Oh, it is a miserable trudge, but I enjoy it. You know, you get to sit with a lot of your peers and people that, yeah, you know, you're like, oh, you're such and such, and so you get some nice chat and people that you haven't seen for a while, and it is a good experience.
As good as a miserable trudge can be.
Yes,
there are
just
worse
like
trudges,
marriage. Yeah. It could be a good experience and a miserable trudge at the same time. I'm just saying. And then, last time you and I were there together, I think we were acting as restroom attendants. Restroom guides, yes.
Oh, were you handing out mints and spraying people with cologne, you know, as they left?
people were coming up to us. Yeah, actually, this was the first time we were at GABF together, I think.
Right.
Or the second time. The second time, because we were there before that. We talked about the book, and then we did the book. And then they were having us sign books, and... And people came up just to go, where's the bathroom? We're like, over that way?
See that big wall over there?
Because it was just like this big clear area. We were the only two people, you know, that weren't, you know, drunk and staggering by. And then like another person came up, where's the restroom? Just like, yeah, over there. I mean, it was more than one. It was like two or three.
Yeah.
Did anybody tip you?
No.
Jerks. Well, the John and I shared a room together. So
yeah.
That'll tell you.
That's not the tip I was referring to, but good times.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. But we've had worse signing experiences, I think.
We have?
So, Cleveland, was it? Or...
Oh, Cleveland. Right. Wow. No, in Cleveland, we did the IX Fest.
Yeah.
And we got paid to go out to Cleveland and open the IX Fest and do a show there. Did we do one show or two shows?
I think we did two shows there.
Right? Oh, you were there?
Yes.
Yeah,
Justin too.
That was Scott's first time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And Scott was trying to like route me through Atlanta to save them like $25 on the flight.
Yeah.
To Cleveland.
They did that. I didn't. Ask permission, but
Scott,
I didn't tell them
Scott's
otherwise.
Like, could you and John and four homeless people share a hotel room? I'm like, no.
What, do you hate the homeless?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I recall.
That was back in the day when Scott didn't know I lived in Southern California.
And no, I didn't. I kept telling him, I'm like, no. And I could imagine him on the other end going, what the fuck is the matter with this guy? What a goddamn princess.
Prima donna.
You know? And I'm thinking to myself, I tell you, he has obviously not done this for long. Because once you've done it a few times, you're just like, no, I will not sleep with your, brother-in-law in his twin bed at your home to save you money on a hotel.
Yeah, look at
if you want me to come, you pay for a hotel room. No, a single hotel room. Not the hostel. No, a actual hotel.
I'm a broadcaster. I'm not a travel agent. Right. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I told you. Let me book the flight.
Yes. Well, from then on.
Right.
Yes. Yes, he learned his lesson well. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this flight, it's got four connections. We got it on a Priceline. It does take 26 hours to get to Denver.
You just go quickly through Bermuda.
Right.
And then you'll be there in a flash.
Like, I am not going to spend, an entire day of my time to save somebody $50. It's like, look, I'll pay the $50 myself so I don't have to spend the entire day doing this. How do we get off on this track? I tend to rant when I drink. And that's one problem with the hop grenade here is they got 21 really great beers on. And the list is really good. And there's really some spectacular beers on there, like the Heretic Taffable.
That is spectacular. Boy, is that beer tasting great.
There you go.
Holy moly.
And
so do you restrict yourselves to California only, or what's the story there?
They just get whatever sounds good.
Yeah, there's plenty of California, but plenty from elsewhere too. I mean, there's 100 bottles in addition to the tap, so there's beer from every corner of the globe, including, I think, the airport in Bermuda where Jamil flew through.
That's right.
Nice.
I think the only requirement would be that they've got some Heretic beer on.
We have more than one. Lots and lots of Heretic here.
No, I tell you, it makes it tougher to do the show. It makes it better to do the show because... Like, in between shows, I go out and I'm just like, what looks good? Oh, yeah, I'll have one of those. Yeah, thanks. And, it is quite awesome. But, I'm loving it here. There's a bathroom, and I don't need a key to get in it. And it's got, a light that works, and I don't have to touch the door to open it to go out once I have peed and washed my hands. I don't have to touch anything. What else?
Do you get to observe chiropractic?
There is free parking here. This is the thing about frickin' Martinez. Is that, parking around there. It was I spent $4 every time I went to a show just in parking. And, unless we scheduled a show just right, parking, miserable. If you wanted free parking, you had to walk six blocks through the crack addicts. Here, it's half a block away. There is a four-story parking structure that's entirely free. And no matter how busy it gets, you may have to drive up a few levels, but you get free parking every time. It's 4 hours of free parking.
And the people you have to get through on the way are pot addicts. There's no crack.
There was one homeless woman pushing a stroller, and she was changing her socks in the parking structure. But... the other people in the parking structure were police. So, there's police cars parked in there. And, it's actually, it's fine. Very short walk and free parking, great beer, beautiful place, nice outdoor seating.
Sweet.
I'm loving it down here.
I got to tell you, John, it's been real interesting hanging around with Buzz Jamil, because now instead of him basically leaving during the outro for the show, he sits around for an hour afterwards and we talk politics. It's good fun.
I argue with Scott. that's the way it goes.
Very nice. Well, next time I will definitely be there.
Yes, and you would have. I mean, you fly in for, most of the shows, and, you couldn't make this one. That's all right. Yep. Not that big a deal. I'm sure our fine host, John Blickman, won't be too upset that you weren't here in person as part of your contract for the Brewing Network.
Right. Now, he is also familiar with planes that don't take off on time. So I'm sure he'll cut me some slack there.
Perhaps Blickman Engineering should be making planes.
There you go.
Because I tell you, you know, he makes stuff that works. And, you know, that's one of the things that I admire about John is he is, I actually got a chance to kind of help out in a, like a focus group that they were doing on a new product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they invest time and, you know, money and effort into, I think he was willing to fly me out there. I had to do it by Skype, but he was, you know, willing to fly me out there. He's willing to invest in the design and development. He treasures that aspect of making a product. They don't just go, well, this might work. Oh, that's fine. And then slap something together and, you know, start selling it to you and then worry about it later. And you know, they really put a lot of effort into the design phase and the you know, creating something that's actually going to work and the work the way you need it. That's what makes separates them, I think, from the rest. That's why get yourself over to BlickmanEngineering.com, Blickman with two N's, engineering with an E and a G and a .com, and check them out. They post a lot of cool stuff on their website, and if you get a chance, send an email to John Blickman and say, hey, thanks a bunch for paying for this show for 8 years, so I don't have to. I'm sure he would appreciate a kind note, and I'm sure you appreciate the free shows. So check them out, BlickmanEngineering.com. All right, so John, what are we doing today? You've got
well, we got some Q&A's to do, and I got a great one to some questions here from our email. You can email us at brewstrong@thebrewingnetwork.com. And ask your questions, and we will do our best to answer them.
Is there a theme, or is this random potpourri?
This seems to be random, pulled together on my way back from the airport.
Pulled and, out of the nether regions, John's nether regions. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we will have questions pulled from John's nether regions right after this.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzmingstein?
Yes, J.P. Lord. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
My daughter, the storm is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acid.
Yes, J.P. Lord, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Blickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra precision, the tower can hold your mash to 0.5 degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Blickmanstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, J.P. Gore. We have beer to brew.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink is run.
Well, if it's the pale ale, you're good. But stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling with without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com. When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hot Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit Austin homebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Back to your hosts, Jamil Zainasheff and John Palmer. Putting the testicles in technical, this is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. Don't forget, you can call in with your questions at 888-401-BEER or 888-401-2337. And get your questions live on the air to John Palmer and myself here today.
All right.
So there you go. All right. First question, Mr. Palmer, out of your nether regions.
All righty. Well, this one is from DJSDJS44@hushmail.com. And he says simply, "Hi, guys. I like the ease and convenience of extract brewing. My beers are good, but what suggestions do you have for getting the maximum quality from extract-only brewing? Thanks." I decided to answer this one first. It's a good basic question, and you and I do not shy from basic questions. People start homebrewing all the time.
We're basic kind of guys.
Yep. And I think one of the best places to start is sanitation. And we've talked about that quite a bit. Proper sanitation to avoid something fermenting your beer that you don't intend to ferment it. That naturally segues into fermentation itself. And Jamil, what is your favorite theme when it comes to fermentation?
Temperature control, yep. Pitching rates. If you have to use dry yeast, make sure you are proofing the yeast first, because otherwise you're throwing in 50% dead yeast, which is no good for your beer.
Yep. Rehydrate it.
Yeah, I prefer liquid yeast, but make a starter, get a good pitching rate. Ferment the biggest thing you can make happen. No matter what, everything else staying the same. Fermentation temperature control. If you don't have that,
yes, yes, that's what I anticipated you saying, and I agree fully. If you're just getting started in home brewing and extract brewing, fermentation temperature control is key. I just had a friend of mine that taken up brewing last week, asked me pretty much that same question. He's like, "Is this really a big deal?" And I said, I told him that I don't think it can really be overstated.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference. I've got some friends that I've met since I've been in Fairfield, and they're homebrewers, and convinced them to, you know, get into the fermentation temperature control, and they're like, wow, yeah, that actually makes a huge difference. Like, my beer is so much better. Yep, that'll do it there. You know, and there's the common things like you're saying, sanitation, full wort boil. That's always a nice one.
Yep.
You know,
freshness of extract,
and it's, you know, it's cheap and easy. Yeah, freshness of extract. You know, I do these brew your own magazine columns, and in every column in the extract, I put this line in that says, "All right, so they want to know what I use for when I brew beers, or what, you know, what brand I use on everything."
Yeah,
and I always say, but if you have, you know, a fresher, better example, use that. You know, use fresh trumps brand all the time. And if you can't get, you know, fresh liquid extract, use dry extract because it's probably a little more stable.
Yeah, I agree.
I want John's job. Jamil speaks his wisdom, and John nods his head. It's a good gig.
Well, you know, we're on the same page.
Yep,
definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's another one. This one's from Marcelo, and he says, "Hello, guys. Is it possible that a big amount of flaked oats in the grain bill diminishes the head stability?" He says, "I always have a good head formation and stability, and I recently made a wit with 50% barley and 50% flaked oats. The recipe called 50% flaked wheat, but I didn't have it on hand at the time, so I decided to give flaked oats a try. Had stuck filtration, but with some patience, I made it through. Now the beer is done and carbonated. It's good, but the foam disappears completely and immediately. I've made this recipe twice before with flaked wheat, and the foam was stable. Same dry yeast, pitching rate, and fermentation temperature profile. Same original gravity, 1038, and same final gravity, 10001. After this, I recalled that I had a similar issue with an oatmeal stout with 12% flaked oats, which I had had the bad idea to pass in the blender." Okay. "Same problems with filtration and head retention. I was wondering if the oils that give that silky effect to the flaked oats can be too much in a recipe." And I think, yes, that is probably the culprit. What do you think?
Well, I'm not 100% sure here because, you know, I was thinking that, I mean, you know, I guess oats are a more oily grain. Yeah.
Depending on how they're processed, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, I assume, you know, it's essentially roller pressed flake grains. The thing is, he says 50%, and then he says 12%. 12% is not an issue.
Right.
20% is not an issue. 50, I would question, you know, I think it's something else.
I'd question his starch conversion at 50%.
Right.
I'm not
sure it's the oils, but plus this, you can add oil to beer when it's fermenting, and the yeast will take up a lot of oil. You'd be surprised how much oil they'll take up. Excessive oils and excessive lipids will can cause some staling issues. You know, I think, you know, the initial head retention, not necessarily, you know.
Yeah, certainly I'm excess lipids, including oils, will destroy head retention.
Mm-hmm.
they allow everything to wet quickly. But now you say you and you've added oils in fermentation. Do you mean like chocolate, cocoa? What kind of oils are you referring to?
You can dump olive oil. You know, all that big silly rave about olive oil and replacing oxygen a while back. You can add a substantial amount of olive oil and not run into an issue. At Heretic, we actually use a canola oil-based antifoam to our beers. And actually, we have great head retention. And we had, a bit. It's 250 mils per 30 barrels, which is, not that much. The amount that's in, 5 pounds of oats.
Right, compared to a half a cup or a full cup almost.
Right. So I'm thinking, I'm not convinced. It potentially could be, but since he said 50%, and he also saw it in a beer with 12% oats, no. Right. That's not your problem. You got some other issue then.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with you there. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's it's two different problems. I don't know. We don't know.
Don't know. Yep. None.
But we don't think it's. I don't think it's the oats.
Okay. Good information in the email, but it is hard to say without, for one, tasting the beer and asking a lot of other questions.
It's weird, though. It sounds like that's the only thing that was different, right, from batch to batch?
Yeah.
Well, but see, he's like, one of them's 12% and I had problems. One of them's 50% and I have problems. I'll guarantee you can use 20% and not have any problems whatsoever. Hmm. I would probably tag it more to fermentation issues or something like that, or a lack of a clean beer, clean glass, or some problem along the the serving process or something like that. That's more likely the issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
You want to do one from the chat room and
sounds
break
good.
It up a little bit. This one is from Double Helix. He says, Scott needs to learn how to scroll up. Okay, hey, Mouse, I have a question. It might be off. Chad Jacobson mentioned on his show on this session that Brett can interact with alpha acids and prevent it from oxidizing. Also, it is known that dark malts have antioxidant effects as well. Therefore, would a Brett Black IPA tend to last a lot longer due to the additive antioxidant effects?
Yes and no. Sometimes too much of a good thing. But I will say Brett really does. It tends to be very good at preventing oxidation. The only problem with that is Brett can have a bitterness to it itself, and then the black malt, and then the IPA. I think, you're going to end up with a very unpleasant beer just off of that. Sounds like an unpleasant combination. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but it sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, Brett in the early stages always starts off kind of phenolic, and I just don't like those flavors myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had good breweries versions of, say, like Belgian stouts and Belgian black IPAs kind of thing, and if you like those kind of flavors, then they may appeal to you, but they don't to me. I'm into the to the extent that I almost don't care whether it's oxidized or not.
right yeah, so there's it may not be oxidized, but it could be unpleasant for other reasons. Brett will produce phenolics under certain circumstances. Under certain circumstances it won't. It's interesting because you can pitch enough Brett to where you can actually get a fairly clean ferment.
Oh, yes.
And then, you can pitch, different conditions And it will produce a very interesting wide range of characters. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think our answer is, I suppose that could be the fact, but would you really want to drink it? So go ahead and try it, and then let us know.
Yep.
That's
I guess my final comment is, I wouldn't brew it that way solely to try to improve flavor stability. I'd brew it that way if you like those flavors. I wouldn't worry so much about the antioxidant effect. If you see what I'm saying, you know, brew that beer because you like the main flavors of the beer, not because you're trying to improve flavor stability.
I think that's an excellent point. Yeah, brew what you like, and then try and do that well versus trying to brew something. But I think it's a good creative way to think of it, though.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, if you have good creative ideas, one of the cool things is being an AHA member, because you can share those creative ideas with other AHA members in the AHA forum. They've got a great forum, very active on the AHA website. They've also got the Zymergy magazine. They've got the pub discount program, which you can use here at the Hop Grenade or at Heretic Brewing or many other breweries around the area. We all tend to support the AHA. And you can get into the AHA conference, the AHA rallies, which are free, and you can get a lot of great benefits out of the AHA. Plus, it's an organization that kind of looks for what's going on for home brewers everywhere. So great organization. Sign up AHA, American Homebrewers Association, and you can sign up through the Brewing Network website, thebrewingnetwork.com. Find the AHA logo, click on that, and a little slice goes back to the Brewing Network. It helps pay for shows like this. Tell you what, let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk to the blind guy from Greensboro right after this.
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and brewing brother Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com. Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like AHA member deals that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and eZymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your homebrewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with Neil Monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, Jim.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. New items include the Big Oxygen Kit for economical wort aeration using common welding oxygen tanks, and the Unistat line of external thermostats for easy control of both electric heaters and refrigerators. In addition, they've just mashed their new oatmeal stout malt extract, so you can make those tasty winter oatmeal stouts and porters without mashing. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer
into beer.
This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're enjoying the awesomeness of the hop grenade. Meaning, you know, beer just like appears like magic off of a 21 beer list.
Nice.
John, you got to get down here.
I do.
The plane, you know, you should have just bought yourself a new, G6.
Well, you know, that was the plan. Yeah. And because it's Friday afternoon, everything
the store
was full.
Closed. Oh, there you go. You couldn't buy a new jet in time.
No. Mm-mm. And I was looking at LAX, Ontario, John Wayne, San Francisco, Sacramento, you know, San Jose. And
people look at it, they're shocked that we're on the radio here. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, wow, look at that. They're on the radio. What are those guys doing in there with headphones and microphones? And they're like, really? Do I have to listen to this?
Yeah, you know, a note to anybody out there that may be thinking about opening a beer bar or really any business, just put something like this in there with an on-air sign. You don't have to have a show. Just put a studio in and you'll attract attention.
Right, yeah.
You sit in there talking to nobody and people will be like, ooh, what's going on?
And just, yeah, throw three Giebers in the room with headphones, drinking beer. And
that's
they'll just
it.
Like, what the heck are those guys doing?
Yeah. Great marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
All right, you guys want to talk to Blind Guy here?
Yeah, let's talk to Blind Guy.
Blind Guy.
Hi, guys. Back for more abuse. Hey, okay. I know both you guys are cooks, and I got this idea on for storage, from storing stock for soups. And I wanted to bounce this off because I wasn't sure whether this is a safe idea or not. But making up a huge batch when you do your starter stuff and freezing it. And then storing it, I mean, even keeping it in a plastic bag or something so it's kept separate from the rest of the stuff in the freezer, but freezing it into ice cubes and storing it like that until you're ready to use it, crank it out when you need it, chuck it in the pot, and melt down as much as you need.
Yeah, it will work. You know, and then you avoid, you know, problems with things like botulism and all that. The only issue is you got to heat it up, you know.
Yeah.
At the end,
yeah.
But
it's just
the
pressure cooker. Pressure cooker isn't cheap. I mean, that's an expensive way to go. It's the best way to go. But
that's not that much.
Those aren't things aren't. Well, it's a couple hundred if you find a good one.
No.
They're scary, man.
No,
they're
no,
scary.
No. you could get yourself go with the American brand.
Yeah.
It's like
eBay it or something.
Milled aluminum. And you could depending how big a one you want, they're not too bad. Even the biggest one with like the that labs use with the electric element on the bottom.
Right.
I mean, they're
right.
Those might be a couple hundred, but you can just get a pot, put it on your stove.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is it's all room temperature and liquid when you're ready to go. But no,
yeah, you said it to what about 12? Right? You usually set it on 12 or something like that. Isn't that what it usually ends up being? Or is that too high?
12. I usually go to
11. Yeah, there's a little gauge you can set it on. Some of them have a little gauge that you can set it on that will determine how high, what your...
15 pounds of pressure.
Gotcha.
That takes you to 250, gotcha. And then you're, okay.
Sterile.
Sterile after about 23 minutes of 15 PSI, which is, same thing an autoclave does, all that. but, I think... let's get back to your actually very good suggestion, thinking outside the box, because if you freeze the wort, it doesn't matter what the pH is, if you freeze it, you're not going to grow botulism in there. There is still possibly some activity, minimal activity from other things, but at that temperature, it's essentially zero.
Right.
So that's a good idea.
You would definitely bring it back to a boil, or would you just heat it up and use it for a start? I would bring it back to a boil after melting it, but I suppose if it really has slowed it down that much, you could just melt it and use it, right?
You could. it depends how much bacteria and such you've picked up in the rest of your process of transfer and cooling down and freezing and all that.
Yeah.
But if you boiled it, you're good. But if you're going to boil it, then... why go through all that hassle? What I would do, is just, it's 10 mils water to 1 mil by weight of of DME, and just boil it and do that.
Then it's right there fresh. Yeah, right. I was just thinking, in a hurry, waking something up, toss a couple ice cubes in the pot, bring it up, you're good to go.
You could have that, maybe freeze it in an Nalgene bottle and something like that, and then you just take it out the night before, and I think that's good creative thinking.
Okay, here's another creative idea that I haven't heard you talk about, at least if you have, I've missed it somehow. Hopping during knockout.
Well, that's whirlpool hopping.
No. I'm talking about after whirlpool. I'm talking about going from whirlpool to chiller and hopping while the wort is still between 150 and 90 degrees.
Yeah, it's kind of
like a hop jack.
Yeah. It's hop back.
Yeah,
it
would be like a hop back.
Yeah,
but,
hop back's
but
done hotter usually. It's done with.
But see, if we're talking about aroma and flavor, we're talking about the oils, not the alpha acids. We want the oils, and I think myrcene's volatile at 150, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, so what you're suggesting is,
extreme hop bursting.
Chill down your volume of wort down to below 150. And run it through a hop back, or then dump in a bunch of hops.
Or that, yeah.
And then chill it the rest of the way to the fermenter. Yeah, I could see possibly getting some benefit from that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Good.
I heard it there.
Good creative thinking.
Yep.
Being blind, you're probably doing a lot less internet porn. You still do some.
It's all by the bumps for me, and there's four that matter, and believe me, I have lots of fun.
there's got to be some good audio internet porn, right?
Sure.
I mean,
Have you ever shut your eyes and listened to audio porn?
No.
You might as well listen to The Simpsons. It's
hey,
horrible.
Hey! Don't be hacking on that Marge. She's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure the gets blind guy off, you know.
No, actually, I want to throw this word in here. I want to throw this word in here, both of you, and I know you get it a lot.
Masturbation.
But I'll tell you what, I lost the. Speaking of masturbation, if you're interested in masturbation, check out Adam and Eve.
Okay, all right. Thanks, blind guy. We appreciate the call.
Jesus Christ! Oh my God! Well, speaking of which. We do have that fine sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
Yes. Good segue, baby. Blind guy, you're the man.
There you go. And you know, for a limited time only, you go in there with the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L. You're going to put one thing in your shopping cart. You're going to get 50% off that one item, right? Then they're going to give you a free extra gift. They're going to give you free shipping on everything. And you get to choose 3 free adult DVDs. It's not just the bottom of the barrel leftover crap DVDs. You actually get to choose from genres such as anal, amateur, Asian, big breast, big butts, bisexual, chunky, coeds, fetish, gay, interactive POV, lesbian, MILFs, etc. So use the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L, at adamandeve.com. You can even do it from your mobile phone, and you're going to get 50% off the one item. That's all you're paying for. Then you get free shipping, you get a free extra gift, so Central, I can't mention it, and you get the 3 free DVDs from categories that you're of your choosing. So check it out, adamandeve.com, use offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L. All right, okay, one more question?
No, I want to interrupt real quick. Speaking of DVDs,
yes,
I wanted to let everybody know that Brad Smith and I of Beersmith mm-hmm. have put together 2 How to Brew DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
One is the extract brewing process, and the other is the all-grain brewing process. And the all-grain one should come out this fall. The extract one is currently available. You can go to beersmith.com/DVD and find order details there. You can get it online off Vimeo. Either buy or rent, and I believe Amazon is carrying it as well. So if you have any friends that are interested in getting into home brewing and want to see, you know, high quality DVD featuring myself and Brad Smith going through the process, check them out.
Alrighty, let's see here. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk to Mo Brewer from Kansas City after this.
To the city. It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
It can't be done.
Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you massive selection and superior customer service, comes the Home Brewer.
Hi, I'm Jamil Zainasheff, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer,
Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew. Have you ever dreamed of attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Anstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2015 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition to the 2015 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth almost $4,000. From now until December 13, 2014, every Danstar yeast packet you use is your ticket to enter. Visit danstaryeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2015 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at danstaryeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond premium brewing yeast and enter to win.
The biggest innovation in brewer's yeast in 125 years is here.
Yeast that has never been exposed to the environment.
See it for yourself at NHC in Grand Rapids.
Pure yeast fermentation.
White Labs.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right. We're going to get to Mo Brew in just a bit, but John, one more question from the email pool.
Okay. Oh, you want me to read one? Ah, gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. That one...
I'm glad you're prepared, John.
Shuffle. Well, you know, I want to find a good one if I'm only going to read one.
John, shuffle the papers real close to the mic. It's good effect for the listeners. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yes, we actually use real paper here at the Brewing Network. Nothing but the finest. That's 20 pounds.
Okay,
bond.
Well, keeping with the
96 brightness that John's
the,
using.
Elements of basic brewing theme that seems to be going along at the moment, or I'm pretending there is. So this is from Dyslexic Alchemist, and he says, Brewmasters, is there any significance to the inch of water suggested to be maintained above the grain bed during sparging? Would the wort quality or mash efficiency change if all the sparge water was added once the grain bed was set instead of adding it at the lautering rate?
Yes.
That inch of water over the grain bed is I put that in How to Brew because I wanted to get people to maintain the fluidity of the bed. If they were to allow the top of the grain bed to become exposed to the air and then start sprinkling sparge water on top of that, as some early texts had at least not disallowed as a possibility. The problem is that you can compact the grain bed, the whole thing will settle, and you will really start channeling the water down the sides of the water tun, and you won't end up laudering your grain bed at all. Once that grain bed gets compacted, you can't flow water through it very well, and you're not going to rinse your sugars during sparging. So that's the purpose of the inch above, was just a, you know, a safety zone to help maintain the fluidity of the bed, the flow through the bed. Once you have that condition, it really doesn't matter whether you have all of your sparge water above that inch or if you're just maintaining that inch during laudering. That's how my thinking on it.
Well, there's also, I mean, depending on how you get the water in, if you, you know, essentially mix all your sparge water in with the grains, I think you're going to get a slightly different result than if you lay it all in on the top.
Okay, yeah.
And I think... I think what you're saying about a dry bed versus keeping a wet bed, there's one thing, but if you're going to do more than that, I would just be careful about diluting the sugars up throughout the whole column versus if you're draining the wort out continuously and replacing the top inch with fresh water, potentially you could get a slightly better extract than if you mix the whole thing in with water, yeah. Or you let the sugars start to mix in with the top the water over the top of the bed. But I mean, it's such a small thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Not a large difference in extraction efficiency, but...
And people have such crappy sparging practices that when they batch sparge, they actually get better results because when they're normally sparging, fly sparging, they're channeling and they're just getting horrible efficiency. And so when they batch sparge, all of a sudden it goes up and they're like, oh, look, batch sparging's better than fly sparging because, well, in your case, yes, because you weren't fly sparging, right? And you had a bad false bottom or something like that.
Yeah.
So, batch sparging can be much better for, when you're going to,
quick and easy.
Yeah. If you're going to, better equipment and, better, process, then, fly sparging can, might be the better choice. All right. Let's get to, Mo Brewer, Kansas City.
What's happening, Mo Brewer?
Hey guys. I just, brewed my first batch of lager after brewing for 2.5 years. It's your recipe from Brewing Classic Styles for the Munich Helles, and tasted delicious. But I had a question about when to carbonate it in the keg. It fermented down in 3 weeks, and this is week 4, and I've been slowly bringing it down about 2 degrees every day, and it's almost to 40 degrees. I wanted to know if I was thinking about lagering it for a few weeks, should I carbonate it before I lager it, or should I wait until the lagering period is done before I carbonate it in the keg, or does it really matter?
I would keep enough pressure on it that no oxygen is getting in as you're lowering the temperature. But here's the thing. If you believe that the yeast are having an impact on the beer, then that's why you do the slow lowering of the temperature as you did. That's why you also don't drop it below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, because you want those yeast to still be active, and you keep it down there, and then you're also not going to want to add CO2 because CO2 suppresses the yeast activity. So you want that yeast activity, but you want it cold. So I would not carbonate. if you don't believe in the yeaster actually having a whole lot of effect and you are willing to just, you know, you want to just drop out, you know, some of the hot particles and, you know, alpha acids and things like that, and that's what's giving you your smoother lager character, then it doesn't matter, and you can just carbonate right away and just crash cool. Does that answer the question?
Oh, hold on. I put them on hold. Did it answer your question, man?
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's great.
Well, there you go.
Somehow I don't believe him.
It sounded sarcastic. Yeah, whatever you say.
Advice. Sure, fine. Fucking blow me off. What the hell? What's the matter with you guys? I call in, and this is the answer you give me? What a pile of shit. I want my money back.
Mo Brewer, let us know what happens with it. Let us know how it turns out.
No, honestly, does that make sense, or does that answer the question, or you got more?
No, that makes sense. When I was listening on the phone, it was kind of staticky, so it's kind of hard to hear what you were saying. Yeah, I've actually, I've read or heard somewhere that, like carbon dioxide, is it toxic to the yeast, but you said it suppresses yeast growth, so I should just...
It suppresses the activity, yeah. Toxic, just about anything is toxic to any living organism if you put it in a high enough concentration. You know, if you lie down in a bathtub full of water, water's toxic to you. You're going to die. Same thing with carbon dioxide. If you get high enough carbon dioxide where you're at, you're going to die. So it does suppress yeast activity. So you just want to. I would hold off on it since you put all the effort into lowering the temperature over time.
Yeah. My theory on lagering is that, you know, it's mostly a clarification process. And if as you say, the Helles tastes great right now after 3 weeks, that tells me that the yeast have done their job when it comes to conditioning the beer and, you know, cleaning up acetaldehyde and other, you know, off flavors. I don't know what the clarity of your beer is like at the moment, but if the beer flavor is fine, that sounds like fermentation is done. There's probably no reason not to simply crash cool it and carbonate it.
Well,
I shouldn't have said crash cool. But.
Yeah, there's one reason not to crash cool is I did see a study where if you actually crash cool the yeast, it will express more of... some of those ester-forming compounds that they have in them at the end of fermentation. I'm not sure how long, if you leave it long enough, I wonder if that's still the fact. But this study was showing like a 50% increase in ester formation or 30%, whatever it was. It's in the book. I thought that was kind of interesting that crash cooling could express more esters. So... the chilling could help there, the slow chilling. All right, have we beat this question to death?
Thanks a lot, guys.
No problem. Thanks for taking the time to call in. And the rest of you folks, you know, next time we're doing a show, don't hesitate to call in. We're actually now taking calls. We haven't for like 7 years, but now we are. And the number is 888-401-BEER.
Modern technology is fine.
Next time you're listening. Also make sure to check out our fine sponsors. Check out Blickman Engineering. Go there to their site, Blickman Engineering, Blickman with two N's, and make sure if you get a chance, tell them how much you appreciate them paying for the show so you don't have to. Check out the Brewing Network store. Lots of goodies there. You can buy shirts, hats, books, glassware, just about everything. And when you do, it goes to the bottom line of the Brewing Network and pays for the show so you don't have to pay for it. So rather than paying for shows per download, why don't you go buy some goodies from the Brewing Network store? Get yourself some goodies and continue to get free shows. I think that's a clever idea. Till then, brew strong, everybody.
Brew strong.